Welcome to another installment of the Rambling Rose podcast. I'm your host, Abby, and in today's episode, we discuss social comparison gone bad. We dive into a show and many more. Let's get started with this episode. Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Rambling Rose. In today's segment of Let's Talk About It, we're talking about social comparison. Sorry, I was a little rough trying to get out. But I bet you're wondering, what is social comparison? Social comparison theory states that individuals determine their own social and personal worth based on how they stack up against others. People sometimes compare themselves to others as a way of fostering self-improvement, self-motivation, and a positive self-image. Basically, social comparison mainly came up with the height of social media and popularity and fame and all of that. It basically skyrocketed, and yeah, but the social comparison theory was first proposed in 1954 by psychologist Leon Festier and suggests that people have an innate drive to evaluate themselves, often in comparison to others. For example, a music student might compare herself to the star student of the class, or a teenager might compare herself to somebody on social media and how they are and how good they are. I bet you're wondering, yes, comparing people is a good thing in some sense. I don't know why, but why is social comparison bad? Several questions. People who have a higher self-esteem and fewer stressors in their life tend to fare better with social comparisons. However, those who have lower self-esteem or have recently experienced a setback can feel worse when they make an upward social comparison, both experiencing a drop in mood and often increase in stress. And one of the effects of social comparison is the social comparison process has been associated with numerous consequences. For one, social comparison can impact self-esteem, as we said in the last part, especially when doing well relative to others. For example, having the best final score in the class can increase your self-esteem quite a bit, but if you're of the lower grade and you try to compare yourself to somebody else and you're not that person, it's going to hurt you on the inside. Like, oh, I got like a 50 on this, so yeah, I did pretty well for myself, but looking at other people, oh, this person got like 100. That makes a big difference, and that's one reason why people go through so much self-esteem issues during high school and middle school, because you're expected to compare yourself to others, which I think is something that should be completely stopped, because you are your own person. You should not be compared to somebody else. Just because you make this grade on this and somebody else makes this grade on this doesn't mean you can make that grade that that person made. Even if you tried your best, some people just can't get to the level of other people, and that's okay. But I want you guys to talk about this with me. What do you think about social comparison? Do you think it's a big prevalent idea in our society, or that we should just not talk about it? Personally, I think it's a very, very big issue and should have more light on it, because this is damaging a lot of people. There's people around the world who think that they're not better than other people and that people are better than them, and it really hurts their self-esteem and leads to other issues further on in their life. But what do you guys think? Head over to my Instagram, Mouser's Twin, or my Facebook page, Rambling Rose, to give me your opinion. And let's drum up this conversation. What do you guys think about social comparison? Today in Rose Recommends, we are talking about a show that I have been a longtime fan of. The show, I bet you're wondering, it's Stranger Things. Stranger Things has three seasons, and they are currently filming a fourth one. It is based around the 1980s in a small town in Indiana, Hawkins, Indiana, to be exact. It was first released in 2016 and made by the Duffer Brothers. each season focuses on something different. Like, in one season, they focus on the mystery behind the town and why this guy, Will, one of the main characters, went missing. And then they also focus on the Upside Down and many, many other things. This thing is more of a sci-fi thriller in a certain sense on how they edit it and how they produce it and all that kind of stuff. And personally, it is my favorite. Now, this is probably going to be a short Rose Recommends, just due to how fast I'm talking, but I really do love this show. Every single time I watch an episode, it drags me in, and I watch it season by season, not episode by episode. So I watch it like season one, I watched it all at once. Season two, watched it all at once. Season three, watched it all at once. And it never fails to amaze me. I'm obsessed with the show, and you guys should be too. It is a Netflix original, so head over to Netflix. But anyways, guys, give me your opinion. What do you think about Stranger Things? Go to my Instagram, AlistairsTwin, and my Facebook page, RamblingARH, to give me your opinion. And also, be involved with my podcast and my radio show. Now, let's get more into the show. Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Rambling Rose. In today's current events, we are talking about many different subjects. Now, we are talking about AI yields a new antibiotic. Students are learning about fake news and how to figure them out. And the new electrode design may lead to more powerful batteries. Now, we're going to start with artificial intelligence yields a new antibiotic. A deep learning model identifies a powerful new drug that can kill many species of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. Using a machine learning algorithm, MIT researchers have identified a powerful new antibiotic compound in the laboratory test. The drug killed many of the world's most problematic disease-causing bacteria, including some strains that are resistant to the all-known antibiotics. It also cleared infections in two different mouse models. The computer model, which can screen more than 100 million chemical compounds in a matter of days, is designed to pick out the potential antibiotics that kill bacteria using different mechanisms than those of the existing drugs. We wanted to develop a platform that would allow us to harness the power of artificial intelligence to usher a new age of antibiotic drug discovery, says James College. The Timmer Professor of Medical Engineering and Science in MIT's Institute of Medical Engineering and Sciences and the Department of Biological Engineering. Our approach revealed that this amazing molecule, which is arguably one of the more powerful antibiotics, has been discovered. In their new study, the researchers have also identified several other promising antibiotic candidates, which they plan to test further. They believe the model could also be used to design new drugs based on what it has learned from the chemical structures enable the drug to kill bacteria. The machine learning model can explore in silico and large chemical spaces that can be prohibitively expensive for traditional experimental approaches, says Regina Morense, the Delta Electronics Professor of Electronic Engineering and Computer Science in MIT's Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory. Barce and Collins, who have faculty co-leads of MIT's Clinic for Machine Learning and Health in the J Clinic, are the senior editors of the study, which appears today in Cell. The first author of the paper is Jonathan Stokes, a postdoc at MIT in the Broad Institute of MIT and Harvard. Now, what do you guys think about this? I think it's really great that they're working on more ways to get antibiotics to people and how they're trying to figure out a better way to go on a different approach. And personally, I'm a big fan because it means healthier people in the long run. And AI can do so much more than real people can do and scientists can do, and it's just great. The students at desks in groups of four watching video about the recent bushfires in Australia. Guess you remember that story? these students are learning about fake news and how to spot it. Now, I really, really wish I had this when I was a kid, because I'm still a kid, but I wish I was able to be taught this, because this is a really great skill to have in the new age of digital media and stuff. One shows an apocalyptic landscape in flames, the other a tourist paradise with assurances that much of the continent is safe. Instead of dismissing both as fake news, the 8th graders know what questions to ask to tease out the nuances. Who put out the videos? What does each source have to gain? How big is Australia? Could both videos be true? It is no wonder these students at Herbert S. Eisenberg Intermediate School 303 in Piconi Island neighborhood of Brooklyn approach their task with such sophistication. They've been studying news literacy since 6th grade in one of the only schools in the country to have the subject as a part of the English language arts curriculum that all students must take an hour a week for 3 years. News or media literacy, how to critically understand, analyze, and evaluate online content and images and stories is not new, but it has taken urgency in the last few years as accusations of fake news and the reality of disinformation media, the internet, and people, especially young ones, spend hours and hours a day looking at their screens. Media literacy is the literacy of the 21st century, said a recent report by the nonprofit group Media Literacy Now. Research has shown that the inability to judge content leads to two equal unfortunate outcomes. People believe everything that suits their preconceived notions, or they clinically disbelieve everything. Either way, leads to a polarized and disengaged citizenry. That's a hard phrase. Other recent research suggests that the so-called digital natives, preteens and teenagers, are technically savvy. Most of them fail when it comes to assessing the veracity of news articles and images. If they were on a highway, it would be equivalent to not knowing you should stop at a stop sign. That's really the state of ignorance we're dealing with, said Sam Weinberg, a professor of education at Stanford University and executive director of the Stanford History Education Group, a research and development consortium. But basically, fake news it's been around for a good while, as long as we've had the news. Some people wanted to get their bias out, and that's okay. Just sort of mixed it. But the way that this school is approaching this and that they're teaching kids about news literacy, media literacy, and the way that they're doing it, I think it's really, really cool. I wish it was in every school. Like, because I would love to learn this, and I don't know about you guys, but I would really, really love to learn this. But moving into the last article of the day, new electrode design may lead to more powerful batteries. An MIT team has devised a lithium metal anode that could improve the longevity and energy density of future batteries. New research by engineers at MIT and elsewhere could lead to batteries that can pack more power per pound and last longer, based on the long-standing goal of using pure lithium metal as one of the battery's two electrodes, the anode. The electrode concept comes from the laboratory of Julie, the Bethel engineer. Alliance Professor of the Nuclear Science and Engineering, Professor of Materials Science and Engineering. It is described today that the journal Nature, in a paper co-authored by Raymond Chen and Wang at MIT, along with 11 others at MIT in Hong Kong, Florida, and Texas. The design is part of a concept for developing safe all-solid-state batteries, dispensing the liquid of polymer gel usually used as the electrode material between the battery's two electrodes. An electrolyte allows the lithium ions to travel back and forth during the charging and discharging cycles of the battery, and an all-solid version could be safer than liquid electrolytes, which have a high viability and have been a source of explosions in lithium batteries. There has been a lot of work on solid-state batteries with the lithium metal electrodes and solid electrolytes, Lee says, but these efforts have faced a number of issues. One of the biggest problems is that when the batteries charge up, atoms accumulate within the lithium metal, causing it to expand. The metal then shrinks again during discharge as the battery is used. These repeated changes in the metal dimensions, somewhat like the process of inhaling and exhaling, make it difficult for the solids to maintain constant contact and tend to cause the solid electrolytes to fracture or detach. Just the pure idea that they're getting batteries made, teaching out there, making new stuff for batteries, that is something I am excited about. I am a very tech nerd, and learning that there's new stuff for batteries is just amazing. It means that people are working their butts off, which obviously everybody is. But you guys think about all three stories. We talked about fake news story, we talked about the AI story, we talked about the battery story. What's your opinion on all three of them? Head over to my Instagram, Alistair's Twin, or my Facebook page, FamilyARH, to give me your opinion. I'm gonna keep this conversation going. Mainly, I just want to get my opinion out there to understand your guys' opinion and get your opinion so I can understand it and all that. But anyways, moving on more into the show. Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Rambling Rose, and in today's episode, a little segment of conspiracies and mysteries, we are covering the very last mystery for a good while, y'all. Area 51. You could say Area 51 is the pinnacle of unsolved mysteries. Just how famous is it? Ask anyone what they think it is, and most people will probably tell you, oh, that's where the government keeps all the space aliens. This remote Air Force base in the middle of the Nevada desert, it's about 150 miles from Las Vegas, has been the subject of some weird rumors over the years. There's the alien conspiracy, of course, which dates back to 1947 when an extraterrestrial craft supposedly crashed in Roswell, New Mexico, and the ship and the alien bodies were brought back to the base to be studied. But that's the least of the secret goings-on in Area 51. There are rumors that this is where the government is secretly controlling our weather, where time travel machines are being developed, and perhaps the most insane story, where they keep the mutant midgets caught flying Soviet planes. Peter Merlin, the historian and author who's been investigating Area 51 for over three decades, said, "The forbidden aspect of Area 51 is what makes people want to know what's there." Not even to mention Area 51, there was this whole thing about the raid of the base last semester for me in school, but a good couple months ago, it was very big, everybody was talking about it, and it was such a big deal that people genuinely were going to Area 51. But what do you guys think? What do you think's behind the doors of Area 51? And give me your opinion. Head over to my Instagram at Alistair's Twin or my Facebook page, RamblingRH, to give me your opinion. I want to know, what do you think is behind Area 51? But talking about next week's segment for conspiracies and mysteries, we are diving into something different, and I hope you guys like it. It's something I've never done before, neither on my radio show or here, so I hope you guys enjoy it. But let's move on with the rest of the show. Thank you guys so much for joining me in this episode of the Rambling Rose Podcast. Episodes are posted bi-weekly on Fridays here on the Anchor app and can be seen on many different platforms that you find your podcasts, like Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Casts, a bunch. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and see you guys in the next episode. And make sure to follow my Instagram at Lester's Twit and the Facebook page RamleyRH to stay involved. This is as much as my podcast or my radio show as it is yours. Give me topics, ideas for anything. If you want me to talk about something and let's talk about it, go over to either of my Instagram or my Facebook and let me know, and we'll talk about it. Hope you guys had a good time. Hopefully this episode was great for you. Anyways, it's time to go. I know, so sad, but I hope you guys have a good one.